he'd say, "Gentlemen, can't we all just get along?" And they'd all go, "Oh shit, you win." Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Ack, 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 ack.
Ack, 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 ack.
Lyra, ear, lyra, ear, ear, lyra.
Pum, 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 pum.
Point, point.
Alan.
Call for help.
Alan. Indeed, with me as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Gus, over there, doing his best impression of an alien from Mars. But, everyone, this is the Brothers Movie Factory. If you're new to the show, what we do here every week is we take a film, we watch said film, and we then take to the pod to discuss said film, what we liked about it, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, just modern booking, modern stars. We then submit that movie, we then submit to a little questiony time, if you will. So, last week, early January, we decided to watch Alien. And with that came the inception of the You and a Guest Gaming YouTube channel. You go over, check that out. There are 4 episodes live now of Gus and I's playthrough of Alien Isolation. That is there, You and a Guest Gaming on YouTube. But then from that, an inception, an idea formed deep in the recesses of our mind. Leo Bird is way in there with Tom Hardy and a grenade launcher. And they told us that we needed to make January Alien Invasion Month, basically. And so we decided, what better Alien Invasion movie is there out there? Independence Day? Nah, been done. Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? Maybe. But nah.
Maybe down the road.
Maybe down the road. But nah. We decided to watch one of the greatest invasion movies of all time, because there's not many good ones out there, maybe?
I thought you were going to say one of the greatest movies of all time. But
we decided to watch Tim Burton's Mars Attacks.
Indeed. Mars Attacks, it had been a minute since I had seen this movie. The last little rub I've had of Mars Attacks was about 2 years ago. I went to the old symphony and listened to the music of Danny Elfman, and they busted out a theremin, and we heard the...
Yeah.
And got to jam to some Mars Attacks then, but I haven't seen this movie in a good long minute, and I think you are in the same boat. So tell me, how did it treat you revisiting to what some might call a classic? Definitely a cult classic, and has only grown in popularity over the years.
What was funny is, like, I hold an odd form of nostalgia for this movie, and I don't honestly know why. I mean, I guess I do. We watched it when we were younger, but it holds this feeling of familiarity when I watch it. I'm like, I remember these scenes, and I remember them from my youth, because there's a stopgap. It was like I watched it when I was a kid or when I was young, and I didn't watch it until now. So it's like I was remembering all these things, these almost iconic imagery in my head from childhood, and now I'm revisiting it once more. It was really really interesting, and I really enjoyed it. It's a really fun film, and I think part of it that I was kind of blown away with is that it's goofy. It's really goofy. It's very 50s-esque, kind of, is what it feels mm-hmm. like an old school. It's like a modern movie that's meant to look like an older movie. But it gave me a lot of the same feels, and I could be way off, but this is one of the big things I wanted to bring up. It gave me a lot of the same feels as Dr. Strangelove.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Didn't it, though? Like, just a little bit to you? Like, this goofy, like, super serious, but not actually serious whatsoever movie that's not satirical. I mean, in a sense, satirical throughout. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to drop nukes on them.
Shut up. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah, I get you.
There's even a war room. Gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, the war room stuff, and just the whole, I guess, political side of it. Yes, I see where you're pulling from.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm smelling what you're stepping
in. It's a very fun alien movie. And you know what's crazy is we watched that. I mean, I don't know. You're better at this than me because you were older. Yeah. How old would you say I was when I watched that movie?
See, I'm seeing it came out in 1996 and didn't see this in theaters, but we definitely rented it when it came out on video. So, I mean, the first time it was in your vicinity, you're probably like 2, maybe 3.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, there must be some things you remember. Then we've probably rented it after that.
Henceforth, I was under the age of probably 10 when I saw it multiple times.
Oh, for certain, yeah.
It has some, like, violent, like, pretty, not grotesque, but there are some, like, scenes that you would imagine, like, I was the biggest baby in the world. I would imagine they would have scared me, but I don't remember this movie scaring me. Like, even, baby Pierce, all torn apart. Scarred me now, but it didn't scar me then.
And the aliens themselves, yeah. Just the look of them.
I remember, him getting the Michael Jackson nose. Martin Short getting his finger bit off.
Yeah, that's for some reason that part always spooked me when I was a kid too.
Yeah, I think that brought back some memories. That brought back some repressed fears. But no,
why don't you stick your... Let me say my jokes.
I was talking first.
Baby, why don't you stick your finger in my mouth and let me suck on it a bit? Like, I can, honey. It's a repressed fear. You might bite on it.
Yeah, I don't want you to bite my finger. Actually, the fish biting at it and everything? Nah. There was a lot of, like, moments where I'm like, this is pretty, like, graphic. And I don't remember it ever being like people literally getting disintegrated, or old Michael J. Fox getting like disintegrated and only his hand is left. A lot of like imagery throughout. It's all really, honestly, really fun. The movie, I liked what you said. You're like, it's like a big budget movie that was meant to be a little budget movie.
It's an A movie trying to be a B movie, trying to be an A movie, because it's really not it's not a great movie, but it's hard to explain.
It's great because of that.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it is great.
Maybe it's both.
I can't really say much of anything that's wrong with it. Honestly, I mean, some of the visual effects are a little dated. But.
I think, though, that anyone's criticism of it could almost completely be brushed off as, but that's how the movie's supposed to be. Be like, it's really cheesy, but that's how it's supposed to be. Characters are all over the top. That's how it's supposed to be.
Tim Burton said when they were getting ready to make this movie, he wanted it to be stop motion. All the aliens be like stop motion or puppeteered, but the budget was gonna go through the roof for that. So Industrial Light and Magic made the visuals for the aliens and such, but Tim Burton instructed them to make their motion to be choppy on purpose to make it cheesier. I didn't really notice that, but
I honestly, while you said it was a little dated, it for 96, it still looks pretty good by today's standards.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad. It's a little bit, but yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, so the movie was based on like a radio series, right? A serialized radio show or something like that.
It's actually based on a line of Topps playing or trading cards.
Mm.
Called Mars Attacks. Yeah, and the different cards showed different depictions of an alien invasion. The aliens looked like this, the skull faces and the big brains. And it's kind of cool. Like some of the things that happen in this movie are based on the cards in that, like there's a shrinking ray or a hand that detaches from the alien's body. And ultimately, these cards got pulled because they were too violent.
Ah. Well, yes. I mean, it's an interesting idea because the aliens come from Mars. They're in the craters. They don't know what to do. They decide to establish contact because Pierce is the top scientific mind in America from Great Britain.
In the world. How about that?
In the world. About Pierce? He knows everyone. Matador! He's overseeing Jack Nicholson as the president because... I did want to ask. All right, so Jack Nicholson plays two characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. The president, he also plays this casino owner in Las Vegas. Is this not one of, if not the most, Jack Nicholson performance you've ever seen?
Especially when he's that casino owner.
I need you to give him that patented left hook.
Shit. Yeah. I was watching this with the lady and that guy. We're watching his first scene, and Mark and the lady was like, "Who is that actor?" I'm like, "Well, let me tell you, that is Crazy Jack Nicholson." She's like, "But he's the president." I'm like, "He's both."
You're like, "Let me tell you, we're breaking up." You don't know who that is.
Jack is dead, my Jack. Friend. But you can call me Joker.
Indeed, though. Yeah, Jack Nicholson's great. Everyone's great in this movie, though. It is a very star-studded cast. But as we were saying beforehand, I mean, they decide to make contact with these aliens, and the aliens come down, and that's, like, one of the things that I remembered. I'm like, I remember they, like, think they're there in peace, and then they turn on them after a dove is released. They, like, freak out. They come in peace. the dove is released, and then they kill everyone. Old Jack Black dies, which this is one of the most Jack Black performances you'll see. Yeah, right down to him setting up barricades and his ass showing.
Yeah, that was good. And the lady said a funny joke. She's like, "Jack Black, he can make death funny."
Yeah.
Thanks. What was I gonna say? Shit. Continue. I lost.
Well, it's just the brief synopsis. I mean, there's really from there the invasion ensues.
Indeed, and they create this machine that allows them to interpret what the aliens are saying, what the Martians are saying, and there was that one scene where it's a very what's the word? I'm going brain dead. It's a speech the aliens are making, like, on 800 years or 800 millennia ago, the wheat harvests were blah, blah, blah. You remember that part? Yeah. And they're like, "What the hell is that supposed to mean?" I looked up what what it said and what it means. And what it means is, like, 800 million years ago or something, there's a civil war on Mars, and people defected to Earth and created humans. So now this group of Martians from Mars are coming to Earth to wipe out what they had made.
Ah, all right.
So there is a reason. It's not just like for naught. It's not the birds here.
It's the bees.
But so even when they say like they come in peace, they never did.
Well, no. Because then even later in the movie, that's a Jack Nicholson really good as the president in this. He's really good as the casino.
Hey, you know what? I'll even say one of the best movie presidents.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, right? Right down to when his wife dies. Can't we all just get along?
His eyebrows are moving, but nothing else is.
Oh, my. But, yeah, he, I noticed that I liked all this, because there's a lot of storylines going on across this. You're getting to see, like, how this invasion is affecting different people. You see the president handling it, you see this casino owner and then his wife handling it. Hell, you even see Tom Jones handling it. That's right. This former boxer who works at a casino, and then his wife who lives in Washington, and his two kids. And there's, like, a lot of different little things. Even fucking Danny DeVito is in it for, like, a minute. For some reason.
As the rude gambler.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to say, though, is pretty much everyone, like, everyone that's good in this movie gets some form of, like, payoff, where, like, if they were good, they're the good characters, the good guys, they have, like, this happy payoff. Do you notice that? Even, like, Pierce and Natalie, Sarah Jessica Parker's character, like, they fall in love at the end before going down the ship. And, like, the boxer survives, and his wife and kids survive, and everyone that's good. And then all the bad people get their comeuppance. The general gets shrunk and stepped on. The other general, who was, like, really happy he got this promotion and all this shit, he got, first to get evaporated. Danny DeVito got killed. Casino owner got killed. Like, anyone who was bad. I don't know if you noticed that, but I did. Even right down to the main characters. I guess you could argue he's a main character. Billy? The kid that's very quiet.
Thomas?
Yeah. He works at the donut shop, taking care of his grandma. Like, he's like a really good kid throughout the movie. His brother dies, Jack Black, played by Jack Black. His parents die because they were assholes to him the entire time. But him and his grandma live. Natalie Portman lives. But both her parents die. But she was, like, the only legitimate nice person there.
I think everyone in political power in the United States died in this movie, except for the first daughter.
Yeah.
Does that make her the leader of the free world here?
I think I want to, I have no idea, but I want to say that. I want to say that somewhere along the line, I think it falls to, like, government workers. So maybe it would go to her. Maybe it would be some postal worker. I don't know.
Maybe it's Tom Jones.
I'm just the guy from Pittsburgh. Yeah. I didn't realize Tom Jones was, like, British or whatever the hell he is. Or maybe he just had an accent.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
He's like, I love your song. I don't know. He had some kind of...
Yeah, he's from... I knew that. He is from South Wales.
Okay. So he's from, like, where Christian Bale and Michael Caine.
And Michael Caine.
Yeah. Now that makes sense, because they kind of sound the same.
It's not unusual to be loved by
Tom Jones walked up to the boxer, and he's like... Hey, man, I loved you in Burma.
Could have used you in Burma. This movie has everyone, though. Like, the cast is so huge, and a lot of them are big names, especially for the time. So what's nice about this movie, and this is a compliment to Tim Burton, is it doesn't feel too bloated.
Mm-mm. No, that's what I'm saying. There's all these different stories, and all of them are told in a way that they kind of all come together by the end.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel sloppy or messy. Everyone gets enough time that they can be fleshed out, and the people you're supposed to care about, you do. And the people you're not supposed to care about, they're given enough time that you don't.
And then they die.
Yep. And then they die. I never really picked up on that.
It is, though. Like, as I said it, though, isn't that legit? Like, it. Yeah. All the people that are bad, there's not a single person that does something dickish in this movie that doesn't die at some point.
You are correct. We never owned this movie. We watched it a lot, though, because we had a lot of access to it. We'd rent it, but you probably don't remember this, but our aunt and uncle, they own a store, and they used to rent movies out of there. And we would go over there a lot, and we just walk over and pick out a movie and bring it back and watch it. So we watch Mars Attacks a handful of times for sure. I remember catching on TV. This is this. I don't know. I honestly don't remember. Was this one of those movies we weren't allowed to watch when we were younger. It's been a long time. I can't remember that far back, but this movie always fascinated me. And even today, watching it, you said at the top, it's fun. Why is it fun? Because you said it was fun because like people get disintegrated and there's all this like mass destruction. But what about that and the way it's done is fun?
I think it's in its simplicity, right? It doesn't take itself serious, so mm-hmm. it's a popcorn flick to a degree. But it's like a popcorn flick that doesn't take itself serious, and it's like a time travel movie to a degree, where it's like you're just able to sit back and relax and watch something that's from the 90s but feels like it's from the 50s or 60s. Mm-hmm. And it's just cheesy, and you can just enjoy cheesy performances, like B-movie grade performances from everyone. Like, I can't do a Danny DeVito, but fuck it, I'm gonna try. When he's like, hey, you're Tom Jones. Hey, it ain't unusual. Like, that's fun.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's just fun. Jack Nicholson's big speech. Like, can't we all just get along? was all really good. Even Jack Nicholson as the casino owner, when he's like up in the thing and they're like telling them they think they're out of time, he's like, just 5 more minutes. And he's going at him, or the scene where he has him in the car.
Make sure every kind of alcohol known to man is in those limousines.
Yeah, there's so many good moments throughout that it's just...
You gave up pork.
Yeah, that's like the one thing he did away.
That line cracked me up.
Yeah, there's so many good like little... It's just an enjoyable movie. And even like... some of the subplots that you do get. I mean, one that I noticed is how genuine, which we haven't talked about, Richie and his grandma. And maybe that's because you and I are, I don't speak for you, but I know I am. I'm assuming you are. We're grandma's boys, right? We spend a lot of time with both our grandmothers. And I kind of feel that connection, I guess, to a degree, where it's like his grandma doesn't even remember him, really. And he's
I
like,
know, Thomas.
What'd she say, though? He's like, especially that Richie. He was always my favorite.
I'm Richie, Grandma. I know, Thomas.
Yeah, like, stuff like that was all really good.
It's like talking to our grandma.
Yeah, no, I mean, but even like then, just, he's such a, like, genuine character. Right up to his speech, like, he gets the Medal of Honor. He's like, that's all I have to say, really.
I think we should live in teepees because, in a lot of ways, it's better.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Or, Natalie Portman walking up to him, and be like, you don't have to kiss me if you don't want to. Like, even like, that was genuine because, you know, Natalie Portman walks up to you and it's going to kiss you. You accept it. Hey, Natalie Portman. It's Padme.
If it was raining outside and someone came knocking on my door, I opened it. Soaking wet is Natalie Portman. She had poop on her lips. I'd still kiss her.
Yeah, it's Padme. It's Padme, and it's Padme. But indeed, it just, I don't know. I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at, is it's fun because of how simple it is, how just laid back and easy of a watch it is. Because you're just watching, character actors almost. Like, they just portray these different characters. Just have fun. You could tell that every single person in this movie had fun performing. Even Glenn Close. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but when Glenn Close, I don't think we mentioned this, but plays the first lady, Jack Nicholson's wife, when her death scene, when she's like looking around and she's like really wide eyed, like, and then she looks up and she's like, my antique chandelier, and it just falls on her. Like, you can tell every single one of these people were having fun filming this movie. And that's coming off of me watching Guardians of the Galaxy recently and seeing her play Nova Prime, and I'm like, she's kind of stiff in that movie because she probably wasn't having fun.
Hey, and then you see her in Hook and you're like, that's a good actress.
No, not the boo box.
No, not that. No.
You're like, that is a handsome woman.
Jack Nicholson, he was offered this role, didn't read the script. He just said yes because he had such a good time working with Tim Burton on Batman that he's wanted to come back and work with him again. Probably took him so long to come back and work again because Jackie Boy is a little expensive. This movie, I don't even know the budget of this movie, but if it were to come out today, it would be the most expensive movie ever made, guaranteed. But somehow they pulled it off back in the day.
Yeah, with all that talent, it's... Well, yeah, Jack, I would imagine Jack Black wasn't huge. He wasn't 2000s huge yet. He was Jackal huge.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, a lot of these names are really famous now. Like I'm just thinking of some that weren't back then, like Jack Black, Lucas Haas, even Natalie Portman wasn't in too much at this point. But like now, they're big names. I think there was someone else in this movie. I'm not going to look it up because that'll take too long. I think someone else in this movie, it was like their film debut. And they're like a big star now. So I don't know. But interesting factoid. This was the last, at least up until I think last year, the last movie Michael J. Fox acted in.
Was he diagnosed in this film? Like, did he have Parkinson's at this time?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell. There was a couple times where he was like fidgeting on screen, and I didn't know because his character was like constantly moving. Even when he was like sitting watching the interview, and he's like, he just copped a feel. He was like fidgeting with his hands, and I didn't know if maybe.
No, I mean, after this movie, I think the reason he hadn't done a movie since then. He got into his show Spin City. That went from 96 to 2001. And he was doing voice acting. He must have got diagnosed then. I'm not sure. I don't know those details, but I'm looking at his IMDb now, and yeah, it's a lot of voice acting and stuff. But yeah, I knew that was a factoid takeaway from Mars Attacks. I think another reason why this movie's so fun, we keep coming back to the talent, but that's what this movie's built on, is just all these big names playing these little roles, and these aliens are very entertaining. We didn't really explain that. You know what they kind of remind me of? Gremlins.
They're a lot of like almost physical comedy, like old vaudeville comedy in a way. Like very body, like their body chemistry, how they move and the things they're doing and motions and just the way they sound and stuff.
Yeah, they're all doing little silly things, little pop culture things for the time, destroying the world in entertaining ways, over the top ways. Kind of reminded me of the madness of Gremlins. Gremlins 2, please. And super fun, and definitely one I need to watch more often, because I honestly hadn't seen it in so long. I thought it was one of those movies that, like, I thought it'd best be left in my memories kind of deal. Like, I thought maybe it wasn't very good. Maybe. So
you
I'm glad
it, and you're like, this is a Michael or a Michael Burton, Tim Burton, good time.
Yeah, it is. And the music is fantastic. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome too. Like, I remember that. That's almost iconic in my own head of like how they defeat the aliens is literally like yodeling country music played really loud and just makes their heads blow up.
Richie, I think these boys are really sick.
Yeah, that was great. It was all, I enjoyed it. It's just a fun movie. And like, for all the reasons I said, like you said, though, I mean, if this movie did come out today with the star power that was involved in this movie, it would be one of the most, it's Avengers, like Endgame levels of like star power in this movie. So if it did come out today, What do you think it would look like? Who do you think would star? Are you ready to get into the factory?
Let's take Mars Attacks to the Brothers Movie Factory.
So in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, just different bucking modern era. So with that being said, usually we do director, usually we do composer. We're not going to do that today because we have such a star-studded cast. Why don't we do, just for the sake of time and actors and actresses out there, why don't we do six total cast members? How's that sound?
Okie day.
So what about President James Dale, first Lady Dale, Glenn Close's character.
Lady Dale.
First Daughter Dale, Natalie Portman's character. Richie. And then give me two more that you would like to recast. Two more you would like to recast.
Oh, definitely need to do Professor Donald Kessler. And maybe probably Natalie.
Sorry, Femke Jensen squeezed me.
Don't we all? And you know what? Tom Jones is in the original movie. We should do a musical guest.
Musical in the same guest. Fact. Eminem.
Okay, good.
All right. So why don't we start with the musical guest then? Who would you like as your musical guest?
You know, there's a name that just pops into my head right away. Maybe a better one would come up, but it's Tom Jones, his style of music. So I'm thinking like modern day, similar style. So my brain just goes to Michael Bublé. Little boob action.
little booby.
Little boob action for the kids.
Bublé. Michael Bublé.
Yeah, similar style. He's an entertaining dude. He swears a lot. Did you know this? That could be kind of funny too.
Oh yeah, I did know that. I've heard of people like walking out of his shows because of how raunchy, but like how much of a foul mouth he has.
Like, hi, you fucking people, how the fuck are you?
He's like, I just haven't fucking met you yet.
Like, those aren't the words. Those aren't the words.
You poop mouth. You poop mouth. Oh, Jace. We need a musical star of today. Musical star today. Who's the biggest musical star we could get in this film, right? But I want a musical star who not only is a big name musical star, big name movie star at that, been nominated for Oscars, and that's Lady Gaga. Let's take it opposite direction, Michael Bublé. We'll get Lady Gaga in here.
The big G.
The big G. She's in TV shows. She's in movies.
Get some... Never mind. Get some boob action for the kids.
I've seen A Star Is Born.
You know, I do that a lot. I'm like, never mind, I can't say it.
Say
what
it
I
anyway.
What I'm going to say is this.
What do you got? You got the coin.
We'll see. Oh, shit.
Damn. And it's lost to us.
Yeah, I flipped it and my room's dark, so I
lost
it. No,
I tipped it.
We got old Lady Gaga.
Gaga.
Oh, wait, sorry. I apologize. It is Tails.
You where monster.
It is Tails, so that's me, actually.
All right.
I saw the bird, and I'm like, it means Ben won.
What makes me laugh is you're like, it is Tails. And you held it up to your computer, but you didn't hold it up to your fucking... camera. So you like held it up to the picture of me, but you didn't hold it up to your camera.
I work in technology, I swear.
You're like, it's Tails. what about old Donald Kessler?
You know, like, I was thinking
Brosnan.
Pierce
Brosnan now.
I was thinking of two things for
who
this
can
role.
Smoke a pipe and who can be Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. Levels of sexy.
You know what? I had an idea. I had two ideas, and I'm going to bypass both of them because I think I had a better one. I'm going to go with Robert Downey Jr. Mm. I see him smoking a pipe. and playing this role similar. He plays it straight, but there's a bit of goofiness about him. I was going to recommend another James Bond. I was going to say like Daniel Craig. He could do this too. But and then I was like, you know what? This is a Tim Burton kind of movie. I'm going to use Tim Burton like actors. I was going to say Johnny Depp, but I like the idea of Robert Downey Jr.
Bob Downey Jr. What are your thoughts? And hear me out on this. What are your thoughts on another Bond? Like you said, not Daniel Craig.
He's too old.
What do you think? Who am I going to say?
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
You're going to say Timothy Dalton.
But he's a slasher. And he has to be stopped.
You say it so innocently.
He's 74.
Like that.
He's not that old.
74?
74 is the new 50. He's a slasher. Why not Timothy Dalton?
He's
old and sexy. Fine. I won't go Timothy Dalton. I will go another British man, though, who did not get the role of James Bond. That's Michael Caine. Now, I actually had a really hard time with this. I wanted to go with Daniel Craig. I just thought that was too much of a cop-out, though. So I had a really hard time with this. I do like Robert Downey Jr., so I'm just going to give it to you for this one as well.
Robert
Downey Jr. What about old First Daughter?
So this is where you lose me.
I have I have a good, easy one. It's in the bag. You'll say, yeah, it's fine.
See, you gave me Professor Donald Kessler. I'll give you the First Daughter.
Isn't it easy? Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's who else is in our brains?
I feel like Millie Bobby Brown is on this trajectory that seems very similar to Natalie Portman's trajectory from like a young actress getting all these big time movies.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, so it immediately popped into my head. Why don't we go First Lady then? First Lady, and then we got Richie and the President. So First Lady, who do you got?
First Lady, I am going to stick with my original thought with other Tim Burton actors and actresses. So for the First Lady, Marcia Dale, I'm going to use Michelle Pfeiffer.
Dude, that's who I have. Which is it really? Leads me to believe that we have the same Jack.
Same President James Dale, but we'll save him for later. We'll save her the flavor.
Yeah, no, I did pick Michelle Pfeiffer. No.
Okay, there you go. That only makes sense. Because when you think Tim Burton, you think Catwoman.
Catwoman.
Who do you got for Richie? Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, no, I do have. It is another Stranger Things guy, though. I was looking for someone. I don't like Finn Wolfhard for some reason. I
don't either. He. I think he sucks.
I don't think he sucks, but I don't think he's the best of the kid actors in that group of Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. I think that Noah Schnapp has been one of the better ones. He plays, what's his name? Goes missing in the first season. Will, yeah. He plays Will. And I think, especially in the second season, when he's like really struggling, I mean, I think he is the best of the four main boys. I think he just, he sells that genuine, especially in the newest season, where the other two boys are kind of fucking off with their girlfriends. And then, why am I forgetting his name? With Steve. He's with hanging out with Steve.
Dusty.
Dusty is over with Steve. So Will is all by himself. And when he's like trying to play Dungeons and Dragons and the boys are so obsessed with the girls, trying to figure out what they're thinking and their thoughts are and stuff. And he just has that really like emotional moment where he's just like, it's fine, you don't want to play, you're busy. I really like that. I think he's really good at being genuine. And that's basically what Richie's character is. It's genuine. You need anything, yeah. Grandma? Let me know if you need any donuts.
Genuine, and, kind, sweet.
Yeah,
sweet
so boy. No schnapp. Or schnapp.
Just to put some flies in your ointment. Pardon me. I'm going to go with similar thought process. I'll go Gaten I can never say his last name. Dusty from Stranger Things. Gaten Matarazzo.
Mistletoe.
Margaretti. Mistletoe.
Vincenzo Madaboy Cinderunded.
Anyway.
Kyle Pepperidge. Kyle Pepperidge.
Yes. it is heads. For real. So you see?
No schnapp. You see? No schnapp, schnapp. All right. Well, that leaves us with one final character, and that is President James Dale.
President James Dale.
And you know,
just get along.
I think we have the same guy. A guy that knows how to get nuts as a president.
The same guy.
Yeah. And that's Jack Nicholson. Obviously, this whoever plays this role would also play the casino owner. And it was actually the casino owner part that Jack Nicholson was playing that gave me, I don't know about you.
It's the same story.
It gave me mad Beetlejuice vibes.
Yeah. Especially I can't remember what he said. It was like right before he died. He does a little move like this.
The audio listeners, like this. But he does like a little dance. He's like it's very similar to when Beetlejuice is doing the commercial. He's like, bring your kids down here.
Oh, we got plenty of snakes and lizards to play with.
And he does the song and he's like galloping on a fake horse. Like it was so identical, it wasn't even funny. It almost made me feel like when Michael Keaton was doing Beetlejuice, he was doing a Jack Nicholson. Like it was almost like that, or vice versa. I don't know. falls off the bridge, eyes go cross, gets kicked in the face by a horse, come undone. I don't know.
It is that same dance. I'm watching the video now.
Yeah, it's just Michael Keaton would fit this role. Michael Keaton now is perfect, and he's not in enough. Coriopolis is in. Michael Keaton, good friend of the show.
Pittsburgh's own good friend of the show, Michael Keaton. Call him Keats. Come on, Dan. Brothers Movie Factory. We'll cast you.
Indeed. So our Mars Attack remake, if it came out today, we'd be casting Michael Keaton as President James Dale, his first lady's wife, Michelle Pfeiffer, which falls in line. They had a thing. They have a connection maybe in the past. We'll revisit that a little bit. Richie, played by Noah Schnapp, first daughter, Millie Bobby Brown, Donald Kessler, played by Robert Downey Jr., and our musical guest, Michael Bublé.
Ack.
And so with that being said, do you got a question before we go?
Who would win in a verbal fight to the death? Verbal fight to the death. President James Dale, played by Jack Nicholson. I don't remember the other president's names, but Harrison Ford in Air Force One or Bill Pullman in Independence Day?
Harrison Ford wouldn't win in the verbal one because he would use his fists.
Get off my podium.
Yeah. It would come down to Bill Pullman's president and Jack Nicholson's president. I feel like Bill Pullman has the bigger cojones to pull it off.
Who gave the better speech?
I think Bill Pullman's. I mean, if you're talking like most iconic fictional presidential speeches, Bill Pullman's is in that top five versus this one. I don't even know would be in the top five. I mean, Bill Pullman's top five fictional speeches by a fake president in a movie. Bill Pullman's might be number one.
Easily number one.
We're gonna live on. We're going to survive. Like, that's such a good fucking scene. That's
who?
Lone Star, damn it.
You got your winner there. Who would win if it was physical?
Physical fight? Oh, Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford's president.
Yeah. Easy.
And who would win in the best eyebrows?
Oh, no. Jack Nicholson has some wild eyebrows. So probably him. He'd say, gentlemen, can't we all just get along? And they'd all go, oh, shit, you win.
Why is that the only line of this whole movie that I remember?
Shut up! Shut up!
And when he's like, Marsha!
Yeah.
And Batman's like, why'd you say that name?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That is where we post the podcast to you first, and then subsequently get shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, wherever you find podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us at our new gaming channel, You and a Guest Gaming on YouTube. We have a couple playthrough videos of Alien Isolation up there right now. In the future, we're going to have some other guests on, do other playthroughs, etc., etc. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting clips to the show, links, and what we're going to be watching and things of that nature. Also on Facebook.
Hey, you go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. Come on down. We're there. We'll make you a cup of joe. I like to make memes of what we're watching each and every week, as well as including links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that. Once again, YouTube, You and a Guest Gaming. Check it out.
Go ahead. Snoop around. That is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.